Imagine entering a sacred space, seeing friends, family, and neighbors, and lifting your voice together in prayer and song. Imagine joining together to celebrate holidays, grieve loss, and serve your community. When in-person worship in New Mexico and nationwide was reduced or ended with the outbreak of the pandemic, many religious communities have brought their observances online, including services, holiday celebrations, life events, and charitable work.
Welcome to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like linguistics, technology, game and object design, and ethics. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
On this program, we're joined by Rabbi Harry Rosenfeld, the rabbi at Congregation Albert in Albuquerque, and the Reverend Bob LaValle, a minister at the First Unitarian Church of Albuquerque, two religious communities that have moved completely online during the pandemic.
Thank you both so much for joining us today. This is a really exciting new kind of conversation. I don't think we could have had it a year ago. To what extent did you have an online presence before all this happened?
At First Unitarian, we made some investments for us to be able to record the video of our services and then post them on YouTube. Frankly, we did not invest a lot of focus in creating a great online experience for folks. I remember we kind of just let the folks in the back running the cameras do what they want. I remember one time going back to watch one of my sermons line, and right when I was in the final couple of paragraphs, when I was really going to bring it on home, the camera person decided to do a soft fade over to a candle. So I'm like declaiming, and meanwhile, he's doing a slow close-up of a candle. So we were not thinking about it a lot. We were just really focused on the live experience.
I've been talking about it since I got here, but the investment, the amount that it would cost to bring it in was prohibitive all these years. And then about 3 years ago, I think, I started bringing my iPhone up onto the Bema, which is what we call the pulpit. And I spent $10 to buy a tripod, and I recorded our high holiday services. Actually, we streamed them to Facebook, and Facebook keeps them as a permanent record. This has changed everything, and we've switched to Zoom while simultaneously streaming to Facebook also.
What was the impetus, though, for putting that online? Was that for people that couldn't attend in person, or to have the record, or a little bit of both?
I wanted everything online because there are so many people locally who can't travel even within town to come to services. They're homebound, or they're in care facilities, or they're in hospitals, or they're lazy. Let's be honest. So I wanted to do it all these years for them. Also, we're in New Mexico, and while the three largest cities have synagogues and weekly services, the vast majority of the state is not covered with religious worship. So I thought by putting these things online, people would have access to them. What it turned out to be, those early ones, was that my friends would show up. Other people would tell their relatives that this was going to happen. And then people from out of town and multiple places within the state or around the country could celebrate the holidays with their families.
For both of you, do you think it helped a little bit to be ahead of the game in that regard?
For me, at Congregation Albert, not in the least. because what we were doing was so basic. I mean, it was literally put the phone up, plug an external battery in the phone, and you hit live stream. Whatever it showed, it showed. And that was purposeful because it was experiment.
Well, you know, to become a Unitarian Universalist minister, you have to do a ministerial internship at a church. And I actually did mine at the UUA's online church, the Church of the Larger Fellowship. So I had 2 years of time doing this before we got there. And it's funny, I started in Albuquerque in August of 2019. And about 4 months into the job, I was like, wow, I would be so much better at my job if I had only done my internship at a bricks and mortar church. And then lo and behold, the walls came down, and I was like, I had a really strong sense of how to create powerful religious experiences online. So we made a pretty quick transition. It is interesting because when I was doing that, my internship at the Church of the Larger Fellowship, the gatekeepers at our denomination, I had to jump through hoops to get a waiver because they didn't think it was real church. And lo and behold, years later, that experience has been invaluable.
I'm curious about what makes a real religious gathering when you can't be together in person.
That is the nut of it right there.
We've tried not to throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. We've tried to be conscious about it, and that doesn't mean everything has worked. So, for example, the service we had on January 8th after the January 6th insurrection, I felt it was important to not use slides so that everyone on Zoom at least had the potential of seeing other people. We've had to figure out how to judiciously use mute and unmute for various parts of the service. Now we have shut down the chat during most of the service. We open it when we unmute, but people were finding it distracting because people were sending private messages to them and just the public messages. Not that anything was inappropriate. It was just distracting.
It's funny because in some ways that's what might actually happen if you were there in person. Is,
absolutely.
You know, the two moms behind you are, right?
We have spent a lot of time thinking about the decision to mute and unmute live voices and also the chat. We do it over Zoom. We made an intentional decision to do Zoom meeting, not Zoom webinar, so people could see each other's faces. The act of seeing each other's faces is also a kind of prayer, right? We actually don't allow the congregants to unmute themselves at any point during the service. Mostly when it was happening, it was inadvertent and often embarrassing. And we shut down the chat too, but only during our meditation. We always have a 2 or 3 minute meditation and during the prayer. We're a church of 850 members, and so when we meet, it's large church service. And smaller churches will do a thing called joys and concerns, where they open up part of the service to the floor where people can bring up things they're celebrating and things that they're mourning. And it works in small churches more or less, but in a big church, it's just impossible and disruptive. So we had to get rid of that entirely. But online, we can do it because we open up the chat. You know, it's like a fire hose. People just putting in all these different things. And then I'm taking notes furiously and then point out different things and then say a blessing for all of it. So that's actually a thing that online services gave us that we couldn't have done live.
We do something similar. For example, we do a healing list that we read and then we open it up and we open the chat and we unmute and nobody's saying any names out loud. They are putting them in the chat. And then we do a section on blessings. When we were in person, sometimes it was like pulling teeth to get people to say something. Online, it is darn near impossible. And I get the same 2 or 3 people. It morphs over time. So now there's one physician who every week says, thank you for the blessing of the vaccine, right? You know, we're not going to stop doing it, but it was much more lively when we were in person.
I've found people are actually more vulnerable, more open online, and they'll share things about their mental health or financial situations. You know, being a religious leader is very difficult work and it's emotionally draining on every level. And one of the things that feeds religious leaders, certainly for me, is the face-to-face connection with the people we serve. And that part was a really huge loss. How's it been for you, Rabbi Harry?
Well, what I did find is that my sermons are worse. And it took me a while to figure out why. You know, it's not like I wasn't saying the same kinds of things and putting the same prep in and everything. I realized, and it took a while, that even though I see people's faces on Zoom, I'm not getting the feedback. The other thing, and this goes outside of services, outside of worship and prayer, is the pastoral work. It's really hard. I mean, I always made phone calls. I always sent emails. It's really hard now because I haven't been to visit a care facility or a shut-in in just under a year. And they miss that, and I miss that. And the only way I've been able to compensate for that, and it's not much of a compensation, is I'm writing handwritten notes with a real pen. I get much better feedback from that, even from younger people who generally only respond to text.
The thing about preaching to a green dot on Zoom, it's a struggle. I really miss hearing people laugh at my jokes. That's been a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah. Or groan. Let's not forget the groan part.
Watching an idea land and watching it ripple through a big room, it is feeding. But, you know, to your point, Rabbi, and I think this really speaks to online services, is one of the things that we have to do is create a sense of intimacy. So a handwritten note is a totally different level of intimacy from an email. One thing I kind of like about doing Zoom from our homes is that people are seeing the inside of my home. They're seeing my art. They're seeing my dog actually will climb on the couch behind me and sleep. And everyone knows about Gus. And Rabbi, I don't know, you're broadcasting from the temple, right?
No. The only services we did from temple, from the building, were Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Everything else has been from home. And when we did that, the only people who were there were Cantor Finn, me, a technician, a custodian, and two ASL interpreters. So we've been home. My dog, Wyatt, is always by my side when we're doing services because he knows that at some point during the services, we're going to be doing the blessing over bread. And
well trained.
But yeah, I think it's very important. I'm always here in my study. Since the weather turned and it got dark in the evenings, I can't be outside for our morning service because of where the sun is and that kind of thing. But I miss going back outside and doing it on my back porch. Even when it first started getting dark and it was warm, I would turn our fire pit on. I love doing services outside normally. You know, when you look out the windows when we're in the building, you're seeing a couple of trees and whatever. I get much more inspired here because I see a lot of trees and I see the sandias or the stars or the blue sky or even the gray sky sometimes. And I miss that. I didn't realize how much that kept me in a spiritual place while doing services online until I had to move inside full time.
I love when the weather was nicer and we would do services and I'd see people logging in from their porches or their picnic tables. That was really beautiful. Although I have a colleague, another UU minister, who's had to figure out what to do about a congregant who insists on logging in from his hot tub.
Ah.
That is his sacred space, apparently.
I will say that the advantage to mute and shut off video that the host has, I will say that there have been times I have taken pleasure in muting somebody. I have not had to turn off somebody's video, thank God. Although we do have a problem when it comes to video, is there are times in the service where people stand. Now, we tell them they can rise physically or spiritually, right? And I stay seated and I just try to, you know, sit taller. But there are people who stand and you're seeing the wrong things and it's just not good. And there are things about this experience which do bring a smile because the absurdity of it. During High Holy Days, especially, but pretty much every Shabbat, every Sabbath service we do, there's somebody's family member online. That just couldn't happen before. And kids who live in other places or parents who live in other places. It's always fun when Cantor Finn's mother logs on. We always say hi. And she'll be watching the Facebook feed, but we always make sure we say hi.
Look, Mom, we're on the internet.
That's right. Because I think it brings that intimacy, that feeling of connection, which is so, so hard in this virtual world of ours.
I don't know if you lead services from the spot you're in, but like looking past you into your background, like I feel like I know you better. I see that old photo of your wedding day looks like and your art.
Oh, thanks for the old comment. It's only been 33 years. I mean, come on.
Sorry. But it's black and white and charming and I think that's good. But I actually attended part of your High Holiday service and stood up when you told people to stand up. And the camera was not aimed at my midsection. But there was something about that embodied moment where I knew that there was a congregation scattered all over New Mexico that was standing up with me. When the pandemic began, we were really worried about disconnection, about people drifting off. So we added a second service during the middle of the week, a Wednesday night Vespers. It's short, there's no homily, it's more contemplative. We always end with, we call it the Pachem greeting. We have everyone put one hand over their heart and another hand reach towards the camera. And then we say, reach out to your community. These are the people who are here with you. Look at each other with gratitude. And we'd ask people to put the Zoom in gallery view so they could see each other's faces. And I'm trying to find all those little things. Like we always light a chalice at the beginning of every service and we invite people to light chalices at home or candles or just do something that's real and physical and embodied to bring it into their households. You tried any of that?
Here and there. I mean, we light candles every Friday and we say blessings over wine and bread every Friday and Saturday and people do it. We see people holding up their cups. You're right. It adds something. We encourage people to turn on their cameras, those that have them. And we've given cameras to a few people who didn't have cameras. We've given some of our older members some iPads and other tablets so that they can participate in Zoom. But talking about standing up, one of the things that I miss that I tried early on and it worked, but you can't host and do it, is I would set my camera up on a tripod outside on the porch and I would do the service standing up. But between being farther away from the camera and the limitations of the Zoom software on mobile devices, it's just too hard.
Rabbi Rosenfeld, Reverend Bob, thank you so much for being with us today on this program. It's a real treat. If you would like more information about either of these communities, you can visit Congregation Albert at congregationalbert.org online and the First Unitarian Church of Albuquerque at uuabq.com. Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council produced in partnership with KUNM-FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, and we've had production assistance from Tristan Plum. I never dreamed that I would become a bus driver, but I got myself a